thing?
Online.
Let me see. Let's see if we can get the whole crowd to react to this. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazma.
The crowd's a little thin tonight. Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right. Praise the Lord. Man, there they go. I heard them. Those are the people in the upper decks. All right. Praise the Lord. I've had two wonderful days with God. And after last week, we're discussing the dove that left the ark. And the dove didn't come back. And I am so much on this this ark experience that the Lord had me to go back and to study the dove. You know who the dove is? Jonah. How do you say a dove in Hebrew, Pastor Man? Jonah. How do you say Jonah? Dove. So really? Jonah is the dove. Yes. So now you can begin to understand why I'm so much thinking about Genesis chapter 8, because at some time while we're on the boat, and 16th and 17th is the ninth of Av, the raven and the dove were released on the ninth of Av. And then after the raven and the dove were released on the ninth of Av, and he came back, and it's seven more days, and then he released the dove again, and the dove brought back an olive branch and then didn't come back at all. He left and didn't come back at all. So I want to know, when did the dove leave and not come back? Because that would be the Holy Spirit saying, I'm out of here. And so experience is over. So I love the way God leads you, because he doesn't try to give you everything at once. He gives you step by step. So I am, before I read Judges chapter 8, I'm going to read to you guys what the Lord gave me in reading Judges, okay? In reading the book of Jonah. So.
Hold on 1 second, Pastor.
Are you there?
Okay.
Did I pray in?
Yep.
I prayed in Hebrew, huh? Yeah, I prayed in Hebrew. Hallelujah. All right, thank you, Father God. I praise God, man. I praise God for the rapture. I praise God for everybody that's going to be there, everybody that gives me a high five. I praise God for all of you. And so now, listen, okay? So I'm studying this. The Lord wants me to go through Jonah, and I look in the book of Jonah, and I realize, I've never studied Jonah all these years. I mean, I've read it. But reading and studying is two different things. And God wanted me to know, you don't understand Jonah, and I don't think anybody in the world understands Jonah, so I want you to explain it to them. So the Lord gave me this understanding. It says, first of all, you have to remember that Jonah is the Hebrew word for dove. And dove is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And Jonah in the book of Jonah represents both the dove, the Holy Spirit, and Israel. The Holy Spirit is Jonah is playing the part of the Holy Spirit, and God. Now I want you to know something. Jonah's father's name is Emeti, which means my truth, okay? So Jonah is the Holy Spirit, and his father is my truth. And he wants Jonah to go and preach to the Gentiles. He doesn't send him to the Jews. He says, I want you to go preach to the Gentiles and tell them that destruction is coming if they don't repent. So Jonah refused to do what God said. So he was Israel. So then it said God made a great fish. Now, when Jonah refused to preach to the Gentiles, or when Israel refused to preach to the world, God dispersed them because of their disobedience and sent them out to the world. But then while they were in the world, or while Jonah was running from God, the men threw him over the boat, and Jonah, while he's in the water, in the world, God created a great fish. Now, the Lord says, now, Jonah is playing the role of the Holy Spirit. His father means emet, so that's he's the truth. He goes out to preach, and he says, so who's, if Jonah is Israel and the Holy Spirit, who's playing the role of the fish? Because the fish ends up with the Holy Spirit inside of them. So who's the great fish? Is the church the great fish? Because the church is pictured in the scripture as being a large fish. And he pulled to shore 150 large fish. But is the church 153 fish, or is the church one body? So the fish in Jonah's story is representing the body of Christ. Jonah ends up living inside of the fish for 3 days. But eventually, that relationship with Israel and the Holy Spirit, so the fish ends up at the third day pushing Jonah out, and Jonah ends up on dry land, okay? And that's what you get in Genesis chapter 8, that the dove went out and the land was dry, right? And because he had realized now that the land was dry. So what I want to do today is show you what the Lord showed me concerning Jonah, okay? He says the 153, the body of Christ is not 153 fish. The body of Christ is one large fish, okay? And Jonah is the fish, the Holy Spirit inside of us. You will be, we will be lights in heaven, so that is going to be a separation. So anyway, I want, and then this whole thing of 40 days is the 40 jubilees that Israel is supposed to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. But at the end of the 40, they're either going to be judged or they're going to repent. And we know what's going to happen. Okay, so let's look at this. Because you have to understand, God is showing you a typology of the Holy Spirit, disobedient Israel, and where the Holy Spirit resides for 3 days and 3 nights before he spit out to go and do the rest of the job that God told him to do. So let's look at this. First of all, to do this, we have to get into the book of Judges, chapter 9, I believe it is, 9. Judges, chapter 9, verse 8. In Judges, chapter 9, verse 8, it reads, "One day the trees went out to anoint a king over themselves. They said to the olive tree, 'Be our king.'" Now, I have to ask you, who does the olive tree represent? Israel, okay? So the trees of the world are asking the olive tree to be our king. Basically, to do what God has called you to do, okay? So the olive, so all the trees come out and they say, one day the trees went out and they to anoint a king over themselves, and they said to the olive tree, "Be our king." But the olive tree answered, "Should I give up my oil by which both God and man are honored to hold sway over trees?" Next the trees said to the fig tree, Who's the fig tree? Israel. Come and be our king. But the fig tree replied, should I give up my fruit, so good and sweet, to hold sway over trees? Now, when they keep saying this, you could even say to teach Gentiles, because that's what Israel is doing. Come and be our king. Teach us what God has taught you. Should I give up who we are to teach Gentiles? That's what they're saying, okay? So now they come once again. And it says, then the tree said to the vine, which is the grapevine, that's what, remember, the king planted a vineyard, said to the vine, come and be our king. But the vine answered, should I give up my wine, which cheers both God and man, to hold sway over Gentiles? See, over trees? Because God is seeing the whole world as trees. And he's seeing Israel as the olive branch, the fig tree, and the vine. And the whole world is saying, teach us who God is. But Israel keeps saying, nope, we are not going to waste our time teaching Gentiles. Finally, the tree said to the thorn bush. Who's the thorn bush? Satan. Come and be our king. The thorn bush said to the trees, if you really want to anoint me king over you, come and take refuge in my shade, not in my light, in my shade. But if not, then let fire come down out of the thorn bush and consume the cedars of Lebanon. Now, to understand that, you have to understand that God is showing you that even though the world needs Israel and Israel's knowledge of God, they refuse to be obedient to God and do what God wanted them to do and to be a royal priesthood throughout the world. He said, if you would keep my commandments, you will be a royal priesthood and I will place you above all nations. But they became disobedient. So Israel has refused to do what God told them to do. Okay? So now what happens to Israel once they became disobedient? What happened to Adam when he sinned in the garden? Once you sin, see, that's the typology. You sin, you got to leave the land. Israel sinned, they got kicked out of the land. So now they're amongst the nations, roaming amongst the nations, okay? And as they're roaming amongst the nations in disobedience, Jesus comes. Mm-hmm. Now, will Jesus preach to the Gentiles? For this reason he came. So now Jesus preaches to the Gentiles. And once Jesus preaches to the Gentiles, even though Israel hasn't become obedient yet, now the Gentiles begin to believe the gospel all over the world. And then now Jesus tells them, I'm going to make you a fishers of men. So now you get this whole typology that the church is a fishing trip. Mm-hmm. And so now the trees of the world or the fish that are being caught are accepting Christ, and every fish that gets caught, the dove comes and lives inside of them. How do you say dove in Hebrew? Jonah comes and lives inside of the fish. And he's going to be there for a while. He's going to be three days until God speaks to the fish. Did you know God had to speak to the fish? He said God spoke to the fish. And the fish said, our relationship's over. And then he went on his way. So you have to understand the typology of Jonah. Jonah, in the Hebrew, means dove. But there are quite a few, and I was looking for my notes from Sunday, but I think I just found them. And I was trying to show that I have it in today's notes. Thank you, Pastor Dan. You're an awesome dude. Okay. We're going to get to Jonah in a minute because now watch this.
What page are you on?
I'm on page 4, and I'm not supposed to be here, but I want you to see this. Okay. Now, do you see the word dove right there in the Hebrew in the box? That has a numerical value of what? 71. You see fullness? So the fullness of the dove is going to be in the Greek, okay? Praise, hallelujah. The fullness of the praise and hallelujah is going to come. The spirit of wisdom is going to come in its fullness. They're all of them are numerical value of 71. I need you to stay with me. Because if I say, we did it on Sunday, Pesach in Hebrew, which is Passover, it has a numerical value of 148. If I times it times 10, it's Christ. So the fullness of the Passover is Christ. And the Bible does this all the time, but its fullness is a times 10 of whatever it is in Hebrew. It'll be times 10 in Greek. So the dove is 71 in Hebrew times 10. Holy Spirit is 710 in Greek. So the fullness of the dove is really the Holy Spirit. Because John said, when you see the dove descend upon me, and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a what? Like a dove. You understand? So the dove is representing the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to live inside of the church, which is the great fish harvest. And it will be inside of the fish until God speaks to the fish and he spews out Israel, and the fish will go along its way and have its relationship with God. But all of this has to happen, and it's among us right now, because now God is showing us that the dove was still on the ark even past the ninth of Av. Okay? The dove was on the ark even past the ninth of Av. Come on in. Okay. I can't re-explain to everybody who came in, but catch on. All right, now, I want us to go to the book of Jonah so we can read what went on, okay? I know we're going to finish this tomorrow, Pastor Ben. We'll read the cards, too. I got some nice cards. I even got a card from Jersey Girl. All right, here we go. Okay, now listen to this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Who is Jonah? The dove, the Holy Spirit, the son of Ameti, which is what? My truth. Go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, I'll teach you tomorrow, Nineveh is just Babylon. Nineveh changed its name because Nineveh took on the name of Nineveh, but first it was the goddess Ishtar of Babylon. But she married into that, and then her name was changed to Nineveh, and they changed the city to Nineveh. So Nineveh's root is Babylon. So we're talking about my truth telling the dove to go and preach to a Babylonian nation. These are Gentiles, okay? Then it says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. He running from God. Okay. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, as such a violent storm arose, the ship threatened to break up. All of the sailors were afraid. Each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below the deck where he lay down and fell in a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on the dove, or Israel, because Jonah is playing the part of both Israel and he's playing the part of the Holy Spirit. So the lot fell upon Israel, okay, or Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? And what is your country? From what people are you?" And he answered them, "I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting tough, rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" He said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did not did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "Oh Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life." This is Noah. Jonah should have been like, "What did you say?" It says, "Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you please." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Wow. So the problem was disobedient Israel. That was the problem, okay? Disobedient Jonah. Now, it says, "At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered to sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights." The Lord provided the fish. So God created a fish to swallow the dove. God created a fish to swallow the dove, which is the same name for what? The Holy Spirit. So now the dove is inside the mouth of a fish, and he's going to be there for 3 days and three nights. Okay. So I'm trying to explain to you what God was showing me. God created the fish for the purpose of the Holy Spirit, the dove, being inside of him, but not to destroy him, because after 3 days, he's going to speak to the fish, and then the fish is going to get rid of Israel, or it's going to depart from Israel. Okay? Now, let's continue. Are we in verse 2? The Lord provided. Okay, verse 2, chapter 2. Now it says, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the sea.'" Now, Israel can say this exact thing of what's going on, what went on with them before they went back to Israel. God threw them out of the country and threw them into trouble. You understand? So when Israel came back in 1948, it was a relief, but because of their disobedience, God threw them into the world. To understand that the world is considered in God the sea, the world. He came up out of the sea, okay? So Israel's in the sea and he's crying to God. It says, you hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the sea, and the current and the swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. And I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. So they're he's longing for the temple of God right now, right? The engulfing water threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweeds wrapped around my head. I want you to think of Israel being kicked out into the world and going through the Holocaust or going through all of the trouble. And it says, to the root of the mountain I sank down. The earth beneath me bared me in forever. But you brought me, you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was in being away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who call to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with the song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. This is the same guy that was running from God. He says, what I have vowed, I will make good. Then he says this, salvation is of the Lord. And if your Bible says salvation comes from the Lord, it says in the Hebrew, salvation is of the Lord. Now, I put this in your notes, and I would like for you to look at what he just said. Let me see what page I'm on. I'm on page 3 at the top. What did he just say? Yeshua is of God. Yeshua is of God. In his stress, he finally admits that Yeshua is of God.
Israel.
Now, when Israel says to God, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai, and they call for the name of Yeshua, and they realize that Yeshua is who he said he was, God will save them. So Jonah is playing Israel, and Jonah finally says, Yeshua is of God. After he said that, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Okay? He didn't vomit him into the water. He threw him on dry land. So now Jonah is on dry land. His connection with the Gentile church is done. He still got to go through some things, right? Okay. Let's look at this. Because I don't want to look at 4. I don't think, well, 3. Oh, yeah, here. Let's look at 3 first. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I gave you. Okay, so now he's going to go to Nineveh. He's going to go to Babylon. And who's going to be proclaiming the gospel in the tribulation? 12,000 from each tribe of the nation of Israel is now going to do what Jonah is supposed to do, and that's preach to Nineveh, which is the root of Babylon, to tell mystery Babylon to repent that Jesus is real. Salvation comes from God, right? Jonah obeys the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh, very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started in the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God and declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth and ashes. So everybody repented. Do you hear that? Everyone repented. And so I want you to see that Jonah is not just playing Israel. And remember, they repented, but Nineveh did end up being destroyed 100 years later, okay? Because they went back into sin. But they finally are hearing the truth and they repent. And so now we have this whole story with Jonah. Now, let's look at this at the board. Okay, let's look at the board for a minute. Okay. Now, here's Jonah. His name in Hebrew means dove, which represents the Holy Spirit, which is 7:10. That's the fullness of who the dove is. His daddy's name is My Truth. So the Holy Spirit is My Truth. Go and preach this. In Genesis chapter 2, chapter 6, verse 2, what does it say? Let's see if we can get it here. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, the sons of God, on page 2, it says, the B'nai HaElohim, that's how you say the sons of God. The B'nai HaElohim, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. How do you say sons of God in Hebrew? B'nai HaElohim. So I wrote it up here. Numeric value of each letter is 153. So the sons of God is what? 153. Who are the sons of God? John chapter 21, verse 11. It says, so Simon Peter climbed back in the boat and he dragged in the net, and it was full of large fish, 153. Now, why in this fishing trip with the apostles that they drag into the net 153 fish? Jesus is waiting at the shore for them, and Jesus is already cooking. And they look up and they said, it's the Lord. And he says, throw your net on the other side. And now they know it's Jesus, and they pull in 153 large fish, and they bring them ashore, okay? So the symbol of the fish being the church being saved in the last days is a big symbol, okay? We'll read more about that in it. Now, even in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, for as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the B'nai HaElohim. They are the 153, okay? Now, go to the next page, page 3. We are going to look at how important the fish is and how important of a role it plays in the end times, okay? How much time I have, Pastor Ben?
20 minutes.
Oh, good, okay. Then let me go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. Here we go. And let's start reading at, I believe, verse 8. Let's see. Okay. He said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down to Arba, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Who's the living water? Jesus. Fishermen, one day, fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Anglum. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, all nations and cultures, right? Like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and the marsh will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Trees, their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit. The water from the sanctuary flows to them. What sanctuary? We're talking heaven and heavenly places right now, right? The fruit will serve for food and their leaves for the healing. Revelation 22 verse 2 says what? The leaves are for the healing of the nations. Okay? So this is an end time thing he's talking here. You understand? This is an end time event that he's talking about here. But what does he say concerning En Gedi? Now, the word Gedi in Hebrew is a numerical value of 17, which is, if you go 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 all the way to 17, you get 153. So you're back at this fishing story and you're back at the sons of God. If you look at the word that Englam, because it says they will stand in En Gedi in Englam, Englam's Hebrew value is 153. So you're talking about 17, which is 153, the fish, and 153. Now, even if you look at the word covenant, 612 times 4, 612, 4 times 153. You look at the net, 1,224 four times 153. Then of course you have the fish or the Benahai Elohim is 153. So this whole thing that I'm about to read to you, which I already read, but I'm going to read it to you so you have a better understanding. It says, it shall come to pass that fishers shall stand upon it from En Gedi, even unto Englam. They shall be a place to spread nets. Their fish shall be according to their kind, as the fish of the great sea are exceeding and many. So you're talking about at the shores, in the kingdom of God, a great fishing story that all these fish of different nationalities, different cultures are going to come and they're going to land in the kingdom of heaven. And now they're in the kingdom. It says they will stand as trees on both sides of the shore, and the fruit will always grow, and the leaves will be for the healings of the nations. So he's giving you an end time story that equals to what? 153, because the Benahai Elohim is who he's talking about. He's not talking about fish. He's talking about the sons of God that are caught and brought ashore. So, as I'm reading Jonah, God says, Jonah is the dove of Genesis chapter 8. The dove is 71. The Holy Spirit is 710. It is the fullness of the dove is the Holy Spirit. Why would I put the Holy Spirit inside a fish for 3 days because Christ has been gone for 1,000, 2,000, and now we're on the third day. And sooner or later, God's going to speak to the fish, and the fish is going to give up Jonah. Because what the Lord is trying to show me is the significance of Genesis chapter 8. Let's go there for a second. Go to Genesis chapter 8. I have to show you guys something else. And is this fan on, Pastor Ben?
It is.
Okay, then I'm just working. Okay, now, I want to show you guys something. And it's pretty darn cool. But I really want to make sure that I do it properly. Okay. Okay, which part am I going to erase? I'm going to erase this portion here. Now watch this. No, don't bring that over, Greg. I'll be okay. This fan is hitting me. Let's say Matthew chapter 24, verse what? 37, right? I'm at the back of the page now. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 talks about what? We'll do that. And Luke chapter 17, verse 26 talks about the same thing. Okay? So, what does Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 say? Anybody get there before me, I'll give you a dollar. Okay. Too late, I'm there. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. That's chapter 24, verse 37. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 17, verse 26.
Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will be in the days of the Son of Man.
Okay, and the days of the Son of Man will be like what? In the days of Noah, right? Now watch this. Pastor Ben, do you remember Sunday when I told you the numerical value of the restrainer is 1726? Mm-hmm. The name of the spirits that belong to God is 1726. The name of the crowns that are put on their head when they get to heaven, 1726. Now both these say the same thing, as it was in the days of Noah. So that's minus this from that, and what do you get? 7:1:1. Genesis. What does Genesis say? Genesis chapter 7:11.
In the 600 year of Noah, right on the 17th day of the second month, on the day all the spring of the great deep
burst forth,
and the floodgates of the heavens were opened.
Amen. So, 7:1:1 is in the 600 year of Noah's life on the 17th day of the second month. On that day, the springs of the deep burst forth and the floodgates of heaven were open. Now, do you think God did this? Or do you think that's a coincidence?
God.
You think God made Jonah's name be the dove by coincidence? And make his name times 10 be the Holy Spirit? Or is it by God's design? God's trying to speak to who? Us. So, do you think that Jonah's father is my truth? Isn't that strange? So now, do you think that the sons of God 153 just happens to be the exact amount of fish that they pull up from the sea when the apostles come from their fishing trip. Because what are we here doing? We're fishing. For what? More fish. And we bring forth, but when we bring forth our fish, somebody's on the other side already cooking. Because it says Jesus had already made bread and fish on the other side. So when they get there, Jesus tells them to sit down and have something to eat. And they bring forth what they caught, the Benah. They don't bring forth fish, they bring forth the Benah Elohim. They bring forth the sons of God. Now, let's get crazier. Genesis chapter 1. And you guys could do this when you get home. First 12 verses, there is exactly 153 words.
Say what?
Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 12. If you count every word, Hebrew word, the first 12 verses is going to be 153 words. Who are the 12 that's going to present the 153?
The apostles.
So God knew from Genesis chapter 1 that 12 apostles were going to bring forth the fish out of the sea. This is before anything else was established. So what I'm trying to tell you is that God is speaking to us through his word. And he's trying to tell us the story of Jonah through his word. And he's trying to tell you, I didn't name Jonah dove for no reason. I did not make Jonah's name the dove be equivalent to the Holy Spirit for no reason. Because at some time, the dove or the Holy Spirit has to live inside of a fish. And it has to be there for 3 days. Are you in Genesis chapter 8? Genesis chapter 8. Here we are. Oh my goodness, that's what I forgot. I'm going to read you something real fast, okay? I forgot to tell you this. This is why I wanted to read the fourth chapter. I was saying, I'm supposed to read this. Now, in the fourth chapter of the book of Jonah, at the very end, he says to him, Jonah, why are you not worried about these people who don't know their left from their right? You're complaining about you lacking comfort, but here you have 120,000 people who don't know their left hand from their right. So God puts the number 120 out there for the end time story that he's using Jonah to present. Okay? So now you're once again at the 120, you're back at Noah's thing. Okay? So now we get to chapter 8, and here goes the adventure. And here it is. Chapter 8. But God remembered Noah. All right? I want you guys to remember that. 2020, when did the flood start? In the 120th year. And then after 150 days, the people need to know this. God remembered. He knows what's going on in the earth, okay? He hasn't forgot. God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock that were in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of heaven had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The waters receded steadily from the earth. The end of the 150 days, the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to a rest at Mount Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month. So that's 30, 30, 30. Well, I'll count it up. Okay. Received for, and then it says this. On the first day of the 10th month, the top of the mountains became visible. Once they get there, after 40 days, Noah opened the window that he had made and sent out a raven. I read that to you 2 weeks ago. The raven's a defiled bird. And it kept flying back and forth until the waters had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out, and it doesn't say then. I can't read in English. I wish I could read it in Hebrew, because it would read like this. It would say, he sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the waters had dried up on the earth. And he also sent out a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove could no longer find no place to set his feet because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hands and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, and it was later that evening, he sent it out and it came back later that evening. It says there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive branch, which represents Israel. Then Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again. But this time, it did not return. So now the dove leaves the ark and is gone for good. My question to the Lord is this dove leaving the ark 14 days after the ninth of Av, is that a representation of the church being taken away by the Holy Spirit and not coming back? Because that's the end of the eighth relationship with this dove, because the dove left and didn't come back. And we know that when the Holy Spirit leaves, he's taking the church with him. So now, listen to this. Once all that happens, the next date that is mentioned, and a friend said, oh, that'll be 49 days later after that, the next date that is mentioned is Rosh Hashanah. 10 days after Rosh Hashanah is Yom Kippur. When does the peace treaty get signed? On Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is the exact day that Jesus is going to return. So you got 307 full years from Yom Kippur to Yom Kippur. So what we're looking at is a model of as it will be as it was in the days of Noah. Sometime the Holy Spirit has to leave and not return. His job will be over with. His job while he's here was to do what? To live inside of the church, okay? And then to present us to God. God is a poet. And in many of his books, he's writing to you stories about certain things, but he's really always talking about the same thing. My redemptive plan for the church and for Israel. That's what he's always talking about. He's always talking about disobedient Israel, going to the Gentiles, saving people, then coming back and saving Israel. It's always going to be the same story, but it's going to be in many different forms. Okay? So now, for God to have the dove live inside of the church, or the dove to live inside of the fish, of the great fish, for 3 days is significant, because 2,000 years and now we're on the third day, this is time.
5 minutes.
Let me see. the lampstand. Oh my goodness. Now, the other word that in Hebrew that has a numerical value of 710 is the golden lampstand. Do you understand that? The golden lampstand is representation of what? The church. So the golden lampstand, the crown, okay, is equivalent to the restrainer. The golden lampstand is equivalent to the dove or the Holy Spirit. So all of these are playing a role in this end time story. So 7-1 is the fullness of the, all of this will be complete. It's the dove, it's the hallelujah, and it's praise. The 7-10, it's the Holy Spirit. It's joy, okay, in the Greek. The fullness of praise is our joy in heaven. The golden candlesticks from Zechariah 4:2 is also 7-10, equivalent to what? The dove, the fullness, the praise that's going to take place. And the Holy Spirit is also, the Holy Spirit and the golden lampstands have the same numerical value. So God is telling a story. And for him to put this dove in the ark and make sure that this dove is a is the culmination of the ark trip and leaving and not coming back is all these scriptures are speaking to us the same thing. And so now I finally understand the book of Jonah. Because before, it was just a disobedient guy who didn't want to do what God said, and then all of a sudden, a fish swallowed him to give him judgment, and then now he'll learn his lesson when his fish spits him back up. But God was like, that has nothing to do with what the story's about. I created the fish because I was going to put the Holy Spirit inside the fish, because the fish is the church. And so here we are, we're still here, we're on the boat. Now, what's my significant day? August 16th, 17th is the 9th of Av. Do I expect the rapture on the 9th of Av? No. If it does, I'm happy with it. But do I do expect something to happen on the 9th of Av significant in the world that we know a raven's been sent out?
Yeah.
And I expect something good to happen to know that Israel is a part of it because the dove is going to come back to the... And then 7 days later, I look for a very significant thing for Israel. So I'm looking for history to be answered in the month of August, 16th and 17th, 7 days after that, something to happen, 7 days after that, something to happen. And we will be able to see where God, whether as it was in the days of Noah, is really happening right in front of our eyes. Praise God. We'll finish tomorrow. Praise God.
Pastor, is there any Bible study next Wednesday?
Oh. We're going to tell them now, Pastor Ben? Well, next Wednesday and Thursday, Pastor Sandy will be on vacation. And I don't know what days those are, but I'm going to take Wednesday and Thursday off. I'm going to spend some time with my family. And I'm hoping that I don't have to return and that we're all gone and then I can meet you up there. So what day are we supposed to be back?
We'll be back on the 20th.
On the 20th? Yeah, I'm getting raptured from there. So if I should return, I'm still looking for, okay, on the 16th and 17th, I'll be out. So I'm going to be looking on that day for what happens in the earth and how bad it is. And I'm also going to be looking for the time coming after that as the dove begins to go out. Because at some time, the dove has to leave. And when the dove leaves, he takes the church with him. Praise God.
What time tomorrow, Pastor?
Tomorrow, 11 o'clock, right?
Amen.
I'll be here, 11 a.m.